You're listening to Working, the show about what people do all day. I'm your host, Jordan Weissman, and this week we're continuing our series on people who work in Colorado's cannabis industry. I'm going to be talking with Matthew Mitchell, who oversees the trimming operation at a dispensary called Cure Colorado. Trimmers do pretty much what it sounds like. They're the ones who prune leaves off the buds that eventually get sold in stores. They make the weed look nice. And as Matthew is going to tell you, it can be a really grueling job, where you have to just sit at a table and cut for 10 hours a day. But trimmers get to see all sorts of interesting behind-the-scenes action in the cannabis industry. And also, Matthew just really likes it. So I hope you enjoy the show. What's your name and what do you do?
My name is Matthew Mitchell, and I am a cannabis trimmer in Colorado.
And what is a cannabis trimmer?
Well, we are responsible for giving the product what we call jar appeal. When it comes out of the off the plant, it still has a lot of leaf and stem material on it, and we basically clean all that up, cure it so that it tastes proper and breaks apart properly for the customer, and then we ship it to the store.
And how long have you been trimming for?
I am going on over 5 years now.
How did you get your start in that?
Well, I moved to Colorado to be a ski bum, and after doing that, I was a stay-at-home dad for a long time. And not having real an educated background, I had friends that grew sort of on the black market, and I would help them trim their product. And when it came time to find a job, it was only medical at the time, but I found a job at a trim company. It's kind of a staffing company. We don't like to use the term, but it's kind of like a temp service. And I got a job with them, and it was a great first step in the industry.
And now you're with Cure Colorado. So this is like you work for a dispensary, essentially.
Correct. Cool. I work for the grow side of a dispensary.
So where does your day start as a trimmer? Are you getting like a big shipment of plant material? Where do you begin?
Well, so you'll generally, if you work for a grow itself, or whether you work for a trim crew, the trim crews will go to a variety of different jobs. You never know sometimes what you might be getting into. Sometimes they're ready for you, sometimes they're not. But you'll generally show up and they'll have product hopefully ready for you, usually broken down for you, just the buds, but they still need to be trimmed. Set up at a big table, they'll dump a big pile of it out in front of you, and everybody just starts picking at it.
So you just start picking up buds and you're just like scissors trimming one at a time.
Yep.
So is most of it done by hand in the industry still, or are there machines, or is it?
When I first started, it was almost all hand trimmed with scissors, but some places will hand trim as well where they don't want scissors to touch it. But as the industry has progressed and changed, they've gone more to trim machines. You still have to touch the product up a lot, but it does save a lot of time. They've really made a lot of improvements in the machine.
So you're saying a table, like, it's just one, I guess, flower after another. What are you actually doing for your day?
Well, it can be just that all day.
All day.
Pick up a bud, trim it, toss it in the pot, toss it in the dun pile, pick up another one, trim it, toss it in the dun pile, just over and over and over. It's kind of therapeutic, though.
Okay.
Like, you get a lot of time to sort of be with your thoughts and get into a rhythm. And, you know, it can be like an assembly line, but there's also a lot of challenge to it because, you know, you can get really good and really fast and be a valuable, you know, asset to a company. You know, some people just sit there and take their time. And if you can really do it quick and get a good process, you know, you can do some stuff in this industry. It's pretty fun.
How do you measure like productivity for, like, is it like pounds per hour, or how do you do that?
You know, that's one thing about this industry is every client is different. Some don't even really track you. They'll just sort of keep an eye on you. You know, you'll be 4 to 6 people at a table, and the managers or trim crew leaders will just kind of be keeping track per table of how much they're getting. Some jobs will weigh each person individually and track that. Personally, I really like that because it is a nice, you know your speed, you know how you're getting better. You can see yourself getting better.
How fast do you trim?
I'm pretty fast, especially with dry product. I don't usually spend any more than 2 to 3 seconds on any one bud. And that's kind of the thing, is you want to establish, like, you trim everything the same, whether it's a big bud or a small bud, you grab it the same, trim it the same, throw it the same, use the same hand, same process. And the faster you can get doing that, the faster you can go. usually, again, it also really depends on the product too. Sometimes the product can be a little lighter, a little fluffier. It doesn't weigh as much per bud, whereas you get other product that's a lot denser, bigger, chunkier, and you can just, you can really rack up a lot of weight.
So you're just saying 2 seconds per bud, mm-hmm. one after another. What, so in those 2 to 3 seconds, what are you doing?
So I usually have, I'm real, real efficient and real meticulous about how I set things up. You know, where I'm throwing the dun bud, where I'm grabbing from, I don't ever want to be crossing my arms or reaching over. Like, everything is efficiency of movement. So I'm literally like, grab a bud with one hand. As soon as it gets there, I'm turning it, looking over the horizon of it, clip, 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 throw it in the dun pile.
And you're just getting the leaves off, essentially.
Yep. And as I'm throwing with one hand, I'm grabbing with the other. So it's literally just grab, da-da-da, grab, da-da-da, grab, da-da-da. And you just motor through it.
How many hours will you do that at a time?
You know, I'm really lucky that now I'm in a position where I have regular hours, and I you know, generally work the same day. Sometimes when I worked on trim crews, you could get a short day. You go through it really fast, or you could get to 8-10 hours. Usually after about 10 hours, I'm kind of burnt.
You can do that for 10 hours straight.
Well, not straight, but you get breaks.
You got like 15 minutes at a time or something?
Yeah. We get, you know, it's, you know, we operate just like any other industry these days. We're regulated. You get a break every 2 hours. It's minimum of 10 to 15 minutes. And you get a lunch every 2 hours. So, you know, we get to go out.
That's still, I mean, that's physically, that's really demanding, sitting there for 2 hours at a time, especially if you're going at your speed, to just one after another, after another, after another.
You'd think you're just sitting there, but it is actually incredibly physical, especially on your shoulders.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what do you get like body pain from that?
Absolutely. But, you know, I have actually looked up, and I do a lot of stretches that are recommended for people that work in offices at keyboards all day long. I do a lot of the same shoulder rolls and those kinds of stretches. So
how about your hands?
You know, when I first started, it's muscles that you develop. It's fine motor skills. So, you know, at first you're figuring out the best way to hold your scissors. You're figuring out your process, what's most efficient for you. And at first my hands had some pain, but over the years I've mostly gotten past that.
It's like you're like an athlete.
You've
trained them. And so
very trained.
What's a mistake you can make as a trimmer? Like, what distinguishes good trimming from bad trimming?
Well, those are kind of be two different things. I mean, you can just look at a finished bud and tell who trimmed it well and who didn't. What I would say is the ability to cut just the leaf and not actually cut into the flower. You can see that too sometimes on finished product in the stores, where a trimmer is just trying to go fast, and so they really cut into the bud and there'll be a big flat edge on the side. So that's one really good way where you can tell a good trimmer from a bad trimmer and how you can make a mistake. Mostly, there's not too many mistakes you can make aside from really like dumping a tray over onto the floor.
Have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen almost every mistake you can make. Or, I mean, I guess another mistake you can make is seriously cutting yourself because you're using a sharp object all day long really close to your hands. So,
Do you have cuts? Do you have scars?
I don't, but I've definitely seen some.
Gets bloody?
Yeah, not too bad, though. You'd be surprised. You'd think it happens more often.
What do you do if you dump a tray of, you know, cannabis on the floor? Do you pick that up and set, like, what happens to that weed?
Usually, if it's a significant amount, they'll try to salvage some of it. But if not, usually it'll just get put into the trim. You know, we keep the trim and the buds separate, as well as the waste, and everything goes to different spots. So the trim will get usually extracted. So you can still use it, but usually after it hits the floor, you don't want to sell it in the store that way.
The trim is just all the leaves and extra stuff that you've cut off.
Exactly.
And you said you sell that. Who do you sell that to?
So typically we'll sell that. Well, we'll either send it out on our own to extraction companies and turn it into concentrates, or we will sell it off to edible companies. And edible companies will turn it into a butter or product that they can then cook with, bake with. That's one of the most popular uses of it.
So in your current job at Cure Colorado, are you doing a lot of hand trimming, or is it more by machine?
So we are definitely moved towards where a lot of the industry is. Typically, we have guys in the back that grow. once they cut the plants down and harvest them, they hang for about a week and dry. And that's about when I start to touch the product. And we will break the product off of the stem into individual buds, and then we run it into a machine. We use a trim machine called Green Bros. There used to be these machines called twisters, and twisters were a lot like kind of like a bingo tumbler. And you would, and they had like these kind of sharp edges on the inside, and you would feed the product into one side and it would rotate and tumble it and move it towards the end and spit it out. And it had a real tendency to chew the product up and really make it look bad. This industry is full of a lot of people that are pretty clever. And so it didn't take too long for the machines to advance. And so we typically at that point, we run it through the machine. That gets it looking mostly trimmed. And at that point, we just have to touch it up, which will be like a little bit of stem on the bottom of it, usually a few extra leaves, or what we also call crow's feet, which are just the pieces of stem, but the leaf is gone. So we want to get all that stuff off there so that it looks really nice in the jar.
So what are you doing with most of your time then? Since you're not hunched over a table now for 10 hours a day, how do you actually spend your time for the most part?
Here at Cure Colorado, I don't trim as much as I used to, but I still am directly, I deal only with our trim. I work really hard to get the trim ready for the trimmer, which seems kind of silly, but I try to get it broken down. I try to separate what we call popcorn buds, which are the really, really tiny buds. They're still really viable for our product, but you don't want to waste time trimming them. So we have these sifters, and I'll try to sift out all the stuff that I don't want the trimmer to waste time on, and just pick out all the stuff that really is our bigger product, and all the popcorn gets set aside and actually sold separately.
Cool. So you're doing prep. It's like, yeah. Is that like kind of a quality control or you're getting the process ready essentially?
Yes. But I'm definitely quality controlling because I'm looking through I'm touching almost every bud that's coming through our dispensary, and I'm checking to see if there's any contaminants on it, if there's anything we call bud rot or PM, powdery mildew. You know,
what is bud rot?
Bud rot is basically exactly what you would see in your refrigerator at your house on like strawberries or grapes when they go bad, and you get that gray mold that is in the creeks and crevices. The same thing can happen to product. If we get a lot of moisture, a lot of rain, it'll happen industry-wide, and moisture just can get into some of the product while it's still growing, and it just kind of rots it from the inside.
Have you ever just like ended up with a bucket of moldy product coming your way? Like,
Not here at Cure, trim crews, yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. I've worked in greenhouse grows. I've worked in small medical only dispensaries, and I've worked in, you know, the big chain places. And so I've definitely seen just about everything. Bugs.
Can that be a health hazard? I mean, like you're sitting. Is mold a health hazard you guys have to deal with? Or?
Absolutely. And the industry is actually, we test for that. We have to send out samples to an independent lab, and they test for microbials, and they test for pesticides that are not allowed.
Oh, so I just mean like for you guys like working, but like, do you have to worry about mold in the air and stuff? I guess I'm wondering.
Oh yeah. I worry more about like the powdery stuff, because that can get in the air.
The mildew?
Yeah. And we have not as much, how do I put it? When you go place to place, if you're on a crew, you come upon a lot of surprises. And so you can kind of find a certain place that has a lot of bad product. But typically if you're on a crew, you also come prepared with masks. You're always wearing gloves. So you can still work around it, but it's not fun sometimes if there's a lot of it.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
How do crews get treated? Like, are like dispensary owners or are the production facilities, are they usually, like, for lack of a better word, like, humane to the crews that come through?
Again, every client is different. If you're on a crew, as a trimmer, it is easy to be looked at sort of as you're the foot soldiers of the industry. You're the people in the trenches, like, and you get overlooked. People just, oh, that's just a trimmer. You don't know anything. But we actually see more than anyone. In my first year on a trim crew, I worked at so many different clients, and I got to trim wet product, dry product, on the stem, by hand, machine trim, not machine trimmed. Sometimes we get to do harvests. You know, if you're lucky to just get a job with one company, you usually do one thing. Sometimes on a trim crew, in a month or 6 months, you visit so many different places and see so many different things that, you know, an owner or a dispensary can kind of look at like, you don't know, but you do. And our word travels all over.
So you actually have a pretty good sense of how different production processes work or should work, and
very much
what's
so
more effective.
And we'll see people, maybe a new owner comes out to Colorado from another state, and what worked in that state isn't necessarily going to work here.
Why not? Why is there a difference?
Well, say you're California or Oregon or places that have more humidity. Colorado is very dry. The curing process is a lot different. Making sure, like, once you harvest the plant, you have to let it dry and cure properly before it's ready for the shelf. And we have a much different climate here than most any other state. So it presents different challenges.
What's like the shittiest thing you've seen an owner do to a trim crew? Like, what is, like, in terms of the way they've been treated them?
I can think of one client that has a particular harvest manager, and they treat the crew very much like kindergartners, kind of talk down to them like they're children. You know, if they have a problem with one person, they'll talk to the whole room about it. And it's almost like that's the culture of that company. So they, one of the things I remember specifically was they don't want you taking your gloves home. Everything has to stay in the facility. And if you have, you're wearing gloves when you're doing all this work, and they get gunked up with stuff, and some people will try to take those gloves. And this particular client will be like,
take it home to get the material off and smoke it.
Exactly. Okay. And this particular client will be like, if I suspect anyone of doing that, I'm going to strip search you in front of the Hulk. And you're like, you can't legally do that.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
They threatened to strip search?
Yeah. Yes.
Anybody they thought was trying to take their gloves home?
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. That sucks. What do you do when you encounter a client like that?
You know, well, I would say what you do is what has made me be able to last in this industry is, like, there's a lot of ups and downs, and you gotta, you know, let some things roll off your back sometimes, and it's pretty hard. I've certainly had my challenges, but, you know, like, this is I got into this to make this, like, my career, not, like, to just have a job. And so, you know, I've realized there's a lot of ups and downs, and I just try to stay in the middle of those sometime.
You brought up wet trimming versus dry trimming.
Yeah.
So what is wet trimming?
So wet trimming is when you'll trim immediately after you harvest the plant. So typically if a wet trim, well, the clients I've done it for are sometimes, we'll call them boutique or a little higher end. They're really careful about their product, and they only grow certain things, and they take a little extra time with everything. And for them, that's part of, you know, how they market their product is, you know, we're boutique and we hand trim on the stem. And it's some ways really good, but I believe it's just a really, for the industry, it's a really, takes a long time.
Why is it harder to do it that way?
Well, so you have, usually you don't break it down first. You have it on the stem still, and typically they'll want you to hold it just by the stem. So it's a lot harder to turn and work around the product and get in between the stem and the bud. And
what is that supposed to do for it different than the, you know, typical hand trimming where you're going 2 seconds at a time?
They'll keep a little more leaf on the product because as it dries, it shrinks in size. And so I think they just think when as it dries, the extra leaf, it absorbs better. They'll talk about terpenes, which is the flavor what makes the flavor profile of different strains. Wet trimming, I think they think preserves the terpene flavors better. Again, this everybody's got different opinions on these things, and you know everybody comes from a different spot and wants to do it. I want a dry trim, I want a wet trim, I want to do this, and a lot of times it's really just opinion, and people are just getting to the finished product a different way.
So if you're saying but it also gives them a little bit of a marketing edge or can saying, okay, this is wet trimmed by hand to someone who that might mean someone who really knows their bud well. That might mean, oh, okay, this is going to be a more flavorful thing to smoke, essentially.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So is that like, is the hierarchy of like in terms of artisanal or like, so it goes from like wet trimming is like the most artisanal way to do it. Then you've got like dry hand trimming, and then you've got machine trimming is sort of the fastest and most efficient way to do it, or?
That's one good way to look at it.
So that's that's the latter. I mean, as someone who's done every way, do you see like what's your preferred way of dealing with a
bud? I really like the way we do it where I'm at now, and that was one of the reasons that I left the trim crew world for this company, was because they kind of did everything the way I've gotten comfortable and like to do it. And also I work for a pretty small place now, so I do get to do more than just trim. We get to package and send the products out for testing, and we get to do all the transfers and shipments to the store. So I like that aspect of it a lot.
So the first way I ever learned about trimming was about people kind of doing it as like a temporary job in California. Like they would go during harvest time and they would go and trim for the black market and make their money, and then they would go on. Are more people actually like you trying to like do it as a career now, or are the majority sort of part-timers coming in and out?
Trimming is tough because even in the dispensaries and in the grow houses, we do still sort of follow like cycles and like seasons. And so there's definite harvest times. And even in the indoor grows around Thanksgiving, there's a big lull, just like in those other places. So that's one of the bad things about trimming, is that you can have a whole bunch of work and then you can have no work, or, you know, one client has work and another client doesn't. And that can make it pretty tough.
So it's sort of seasonal. I mean, is there a lot of turnover?
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. And that's one of the reasons, is because it's hard for grows to keep full-time trimmers because you don't always have product. There's lulls in your grow and harvest. And so a lot of people do work on these trim crews. And well, another part of it really is, it's one of your easiest ways to get your foot in the door in this industry. It's really competitive. And so if you have no experience whatsoever, trim crews are a great way to get started with no experience. But because of that, there's a lot of wild cards.
And people who also decide they don't like it, flame out, leave.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah. How's the money?
It could be better in Colorado. You know, I think the money is good. I think one of the big things a lot of people in the industry would like is more benefits. You know, Colorado is getting to be a pretty expensive place to live. So It is tough, but I think the benefit side of it is really lacking in the industry. You know, it's hard kind of to get your foot in the door. It's hard to get a decent job, and then it's even harder to get a decent job that has actual like health insurance and paid days off and sick leave and things like that. But there are some of them.
Do most trimmers work on crews or like kind of staffing agencies, or do more of them work with a single dispensary?
I think there's more crews. And then what you see is like with us, we have one or two people that are trimming, but then we also supplement it with the trim crews. So it's kind of seen it from both sides. You know, I work at a job where we use the trim crew, but I also used to be on one. Like I said, it's the best thing about it is it's really competitive to get these jobs. And so the trim crews are one of the first and quickest ways just to get your foot in the door. And as soon as some people get experience, they move on out. Some people are also wanting more to do the grow side of things.
And this is their way of seeing, kind of getting a view of it. How does trimming like lead someone to the grow side?
Well, we're working in the back of the house. What we, you know, kind of, if you refer to it as a restaurant, you know, you've got the dispensary, which is, you know, the customer service people, and then we're the back of the house people. And there is a lot of overlap between the trimming and the grow side of things. You know, when we're at these jobs, we're going back and forth amongst the rooms, from a veg room to a clone room to a flower room, and getting the product and bring it back and forth, or, you know, going and if you're at a client, you got to go find the client, and you walk through the grow and you meet somebody, hey, cool shirt, you know. And so you just sort of, sometimes you're at all these different places on a crew and you just find one where you maybe have a chemistry, and it's a timing thing. Sometimes you just happen to be on a crew at a job and somebody's like, I'm out, I quit, and hey, you know. And it does work though, also like a temp service though, where typically the client will pay the crew for that employee. So you know how that works in like temp companies or whatever. So that's like what happened to me. Was this was a client for the trim crew that I worked for, and they hired me off the trim crew.
And they said, hey, you do a good job, come help us run our show.
And it wasn't my first time being offered a job at one of the clients, but it was the first one that I actually wanted to work for.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So you had other opportunities to go full time with one place, and you said, yeah.
Whether it was their method, or sometimes it's distance. Denver's this kind of sprawling town, and there's a lot of zones where these warehouses are, and some of them can be pretty far away depending on where you live.
Are there some methods that you really hate?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't like wet trimming too much.
Oh, really?
Obviously, but
even though that's like the supposedly high end one,
I'm just not very fast. I like being fast. No, one of my favorite clients that I ever worked for the trim crew, which I'll say is a company called Shear Solutions, and they were awesome. One of my favorite clients that we ever worked for Shear Solutions was a really high end grow. They don't have a dispensary; they only wholesale, but they wholesale like really high end. They call it boutique cannabis, and I don't really like trimming wet on the stem, but I like them so much that you're like, oh, I'd love working there. I wouldn't want to work there like full time, but when you know, the week would turn up that they're on the schedule, I was always happy to go to that client.
Have you ever been at a dispensary or a site and just been totally heartbroken by the way they were handling the product?
Yes.
So what can they do that just makes you that would leave you stricken? Like what is it? What can they do that's so horrible?
Well, we worked for a place, I'll just say it was a greenhouse grow, and they started out literally growing in the soil, in the ground of the greenhouse, but they didn't rotate things out, and they ended up just having to start growing in pots, big pots, but in a greenhouse, and they just tried to grow so much, and they couldn't control it, and they'd put this wet product immediately into these bins, and they had really bad black flies, these small black flies, and white flies too. I come to think of it, I saw an earwig one time at that client. I saw a wasp in the grow. Like you never knew what they. But the way you'd open up the bin to then break it down, and these flies would just blast out of the plastic bin, like these big tubs, plastic tubs, and just a whole horde of flies just flies into your face. And no matter what you've got on for a mask, that place was just not fun to work for. The only good thing about that place was that we would usually get that place done in about 5 to 6 hours, and they would always pay us for 8.
That's good. That's compensation. You've been doing this for about 6 years. Have you noticed like kind of significant changes in the way companies are handling trimming?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the best things about this industry to me is, and I was very kind of conscious of it when I got into this, was we're kind of on the frontier here in Colorado. And so a lot of people don't like a lot of change, but that's one thing that there's very much in this industry, whether it's how you're growing it, how they're asking us to transfer it to the stores, the labels change almost every week, like how you have to put warnings on things. So there's change in every aspect of this industry, and it's what I like. You've got to roll with it, but some people can't handle it.
What about the move towards more machine work? Do you think you're going to see like fewer people like hand trimming in the future, or?
Inevitably, you're going to have less, but you still, until these, unless they can get the machines even better, you still almost always have to have somebody touch up every single one of them, unless it's just the really small stuff and you kind of filter that out and set it aside. But you still, I think you're still going to see almost as many trimmers, just the jobs are going to go faster. Or I guess you could also say the amounts that we're producing are going to be bigger, but the job is still there. It's just, you're doing less, but producing more.
Yeah. You're getting more productive over time.
Exactly.
So one guy, you're not doing as much of the bud, but you're going through more of the buds.
Yes.
When you're out on one of those 10-hour jobs, how do you entertain yourself? Is it just totally zenning out, or are you blasting music? What are you doing?
You know, so having been in this as long as I have, it can be any combination of those things. And again, when you're on a crew, it can be a great thing, it can be a bad thing. Every job is different. Every time it's almost set up a little different. The product's always different. Who you're sitting with is different. And that's one thing in this industry, is because of that turnover. And you know, it's a really, people's backgrounds, people come from all over to trim. So there's, you know, people that have left professional careers to do this. There's people like me that, you know, left being a stay-at-home dad and got into this. There's 21-year-old, you know, natives that can't wait till they turn 21 and they go straight to the badge office to get their badge. So you deal with a lot of different people, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different backgrounds. And that's a really good thing, because the conversations at a trim table can go all over the place.
I just sort of imagine it's bad. A bunch of dudes giving each other shit all day.
And you'd be surprised how many girls there are too.
Yeah,
and they're good at it as well. But yeah, there's a lot of shit giving. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of arguing over the music. There's people like me who
could probably get pretty heated.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I don't really want to hear this band, and they don't really want to hear that band. And there can, you know, political discussions can come up, and that's almost never good in a trim room. But we also I have one former coworker who is really, really good at games, and we'll do games where just pick a letter and around the table, name a movie that starts with that letter. And, you know, after 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you start running out of movies. And you can really, really rack your brain. And then people drop out. And then it's down to like two people back to back. We can do the same thing with foods. We'll tell a lot of riddles. there'll be big lulls.
You have to get good at conversation.
You know, sometimes you can get stuck at a table with three people with headphones.
When you tell people what you do for a living, what's the reaction you typically get?
Yeah, that's a good one, and you sort of have to read people sometimes. One of my best methods is I look at their shoes. In my experience, people that wear skate shoes are usually cool with the industry. So if you look down and somebody's wearing like cool skate shoes, you're like, oh, they'll probably.
What do my Converse communicate?
Exactly. Yeah, I would have totally tell you what I do.
For listeners, I'm wearing like mustard yellow Converse right now.
I definitely try to read people before I say. But another thing, I've gotten pretty comfortable in this industry now too. So I think part of changing some of the perceptions that people have of this industry is not being afraid to talk about it, and not being afraid to tell people that yes, I work in this industry. We're legit. You know, we're doing everything by the rules, and we're not just dumb stoners. So you definitely, I mostly get really positive reactions, and I'm sometimes surprised at the people that I don't think will have a positive reaction start asking me all kinds of questions. I think one of the other big things that we you'll see as a trimmer that's kind of is, you don't even have to tell people because we smell. Like we've worked all day, and like we get our paycheck and you go to the bank right after you get off work. It's in your hair, it's in your shoes, it's under your finger, you know, it's literally in your pores. If you like, people smell you in the bank and you just get looks, and you can just tell by that what their opinion is usually.
Sometimes, are the looks all bad, or some?
No.
I was about to say, some of them are probably like, oh, it's really good.
It can depend on where you are. You know, you can go to the liquor store to get a 6-pack of beer and like walk by somebody and they're like, you smell great. And then you go into the bank and they're just give you kind of dirty looks.
Fair enough. Okay.
But, you know, more good than bad these days. The industry is really, really changing.
Is there anything about your job people regularly misunderstand?
I think one of the big ones is people that ask you, do you get free samples? Which we are working in a very legitimate industry, and we track everything. There's cameras all over these buildings. People pay a lot of money to get their badges and to have licenses to run these businesses, and there are not free samples. We don't just get handed product like, here, enjoy that. Like, it's not. I think a lot of people think we're just in these grow houses smoking, doing whatever, and it's not like that at all.
I imagine it actually being stoned would make it really hard to do this job because it's all about small muscle control. I guess there are probably some people who can do it high. I guess can somebody trim high if they want it to?
I think most do. you call them functional stoners.
This is something I've been wondering. It seems like a lot of places have different rules about people being high at work. So with trim crews, people do. There are a lot of people work high.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely sort of sometimes. You guys can't smoke on break. If you really need to, go out the side door. It's sort of like unspoken, you know, as long as you're not obvious about it and, you know, not right out front of the door, a lot of people definitely on break are. Breaks can be interesting, yeah.
I guess like it's a bunch of people who like weed sitting around at a table full of weed all day long. It would be like asking me to like play with cheese for 10 hours and not eat any. It just like
I'm guilty of this myself, but you'll definitely see people nodding off sometime at the table.
Oh, yeah.
Like their scissors are moving, but the bud isn't even close to it, and their eyes are getting droopy. Again, you gotta give them a little nudge and roll with it. But you know, as long as everybody's handling their business, it's not too big of a deal usually.
All right.
Some people have definitely gotten in trouble. I have seen a few instances of harder drugs being used in the trim room.
Oh, really?
And
is that actually like actively discouraged?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nothing harder than weed, essentially.
No. I've seen people lose their jobs for drinking on the job. There was one guy nodding off at a job, and he was not just stoned. he got asked to leave on break.
Is that like how some people, because it can't, I imagine it can't be monotonous. I guess that's how some people are dealing with it.
Yeah.
Partly.
Well, and you know, some people can nod off whether even if they're not stoned, because it is like you're doing a pretty repetitive thing. And if you're sitting at a table with three people wearing headphones and no one's talking, it can get kind of slow sometimes.
That's where the movie game really comes in handy.
Yeah. 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 The movie game. I like the riddles. The movie game's good though too. I'm pretty good at it.
How do you interview for like a job as a trimmer? What do you do to get one of these jobs?
Well, first step is always you have to go to the MED and get a badge, which is not too terribly hard, but you got to fill out a lot of paperwork and pass a background check. And so when I was coming out of being a stay-at-home dad, I decided I wanted to try and get into this. I went and got my badge and then just went to Craigslist and Westword and was looking for stuff on there. And I had a big lull on my resume, and so I didn't get really any response. And so I decided to kind of tweak my resume a little bit and put a little humor on it. And I literally put household manager as instead of stay-at-home dad, and actually listed like all these things. And I put some of my old like ski industry experience, and I also put that I was part of the local music scene. And when I looked at it two ways. One was either somebody's going to look at this resume and be like, ugh, we don't want that guy, and I probably don't want to work for that place because they don't have the sense of humor that I do. The other one, I was like, well, the other people are probably going to get a kick out of it, and that's exactly what I want. So I did actually, once I changed my resume, I immediately got some responses. And my first interview, which is who I ended up working for, Shear Solutions, I interviewed with the owner and the general manager. And the general manager asked me sort of all your standard interview questions, and the owner just sat there. And when he finally spoke, the first thing he asked me was, what do you play? And then he asked me about skiing, and I was like, this is where I want to work.
Yeah.
Like, the owner didn't even, like, he wanted to know about me. And there's a lot of creative people in these trim rooms. A lot of musicians, a lot of writers, a lot of artists, a lot of people with really obscure skills too. Like you, I worked with a guy who bred rabbits. I worked with a girl who tattoos out of her house. People are just all over the place. It's one of the greatest things about the industry, honestly.
What do you play?
I play guitar and bass. Nice. I have a band with one of my coworkers, and the whole idea behind it was that I only wanted people that worked in the industry to be in the band.
And what's the name of the band?
It's called Bud Rot.
Okay, I was bring it full circle.
Yes.
All right, man. Thank you so much for this interview.
Thank
this
you.
Was perfect. You've been listening to Working. I'm your host, Jordan Weissman, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, as always, I invite you to leave a review at Apple Podcasts. And if you have thoughts, comments, questions, philosophical qualms, really anything, send me an email at working@slate.com. Again, that's working@slate.com. I'll do my absolute best to answer promptly. My producer on Working is Jessamyn Molly, and thank you to Justin D. Wright for our ad music. See you next time.